The U.S. and Canada get along pretty well, but there is a long history of military engagements between the countries, including secret full-scale invasion plans as recently as the 20s and 30s. And who knows, there's probably a plan in place even today, hypothetically, of course. Kevin Lippert has written all about it in his new book, War Plan Red, The United States' Secret Plan to Invade Canada and Canada's Secret Plan to Invade the United States. He joins us now from his home in Ghent, New York, which I should point out is pretty safely away from the Canadian border. Kevin, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Can you take us back to the Revolutionary War when the 13 colonies declared war against Great Britain and all of those borderlines and loyalties were drawn up? And you know, obviously Vermont had a strong role to play in this. So is that the first time the two countries fought? And I do realize I'm taking liberties to call them two countries.
That was sort of the genesis of the later border tensions between the two countries. There were a number of Americans called the Loyalists who actually emigrated to Canada not to participate in a fight against the Crown. So already there were some sort of refugees that went up there. After America won the war and the peace treaty process, the American team, led by Benjamin Franklin, proposed that Britain should just hand over all of North America, the colonies plus the Canadian provinces, because it seemed that if there was going to be a United States of North America, that should be included. And Britain had used Canada as a staging ground for the war, so I think America thought that it was fair game. There was a moment at which that seemed that might be possible, but then the British negotiator got some flack from London, and he backed off that position. So they ended up with the 13 colonies, 13 original colonies, and a very fuzzy line drawn through the woods.
It sounds like that line actually stayed pretty fuzzy. I mean, it wasn't like once that line was drawn, it was fuzzy, but then it was cleared up pretty quickly.
It was fuzzy right through pretty much the 19th century, through most of the 19th century. And even now, it's marked off by 800-plus GPS markers, so it's... It's better, it's more scientifically defined, but it's still quite a jagged line. And think about, in those days, this was unexplored territory. This was mostly woodlands that white men at least hadn't really explored. So there was a lot of hand-waving, sort of to-be-determined later language about where the exact border was. And as America expanded west, it got more complicated because then the border shifted again up to the 49th parallel from the 47th.
Kevin, these days people often point to that sort of fuzzy border or the border that's often not clearly marked out physically, you know, that's sort of a porous border as a sign of our friendship. But was that actually a sign of contention in previous centuries?
Well, there were several border skirmishes in the 19th century. Two big ones in particular there was the War of 1812 after the Revolution. There were a handful of Americans, particularly politicians, who thought that somehow we were still owed Canada. And some people think the War of 1812 was the result of, there were some, particularly Henry Clay, an early Kentucky hothead, who was looking for an excuse to pick a fight with Britain to try and invade Canada. So after the War of 1812, which did not work out so well for the United States, there were two big skirmishes. One was the so-called Pork and Bean Wars, and that was fought between the state of Maine and New Brunswick over fuzzy border logging rights. Mainers thought that the New Brunswick lumberjacks were crossing over into their territory to harvest trees. So there was a scuffle there that almost escalated into war. The United States, still sore about 1812, allocated a ton of money and a lot of men to that before the British decided that there wasn't a lot there to fight about. And then the other was on the West Coast and on San Juan Island. Same problem. There was a very hazily defined border out there, and both the British and the Americans were sort of squatting San Juan Island, and there was a fight erupted over a pig, an American pig that was rooting up potatoes in the garden of the manager of the Hudson's Bay Company ranch there. And that led to another, there was a huge buildup. It was a bit like, I liken it to the Falkland Islands. in the 1980s. There was an enormous buildup of men in naval ships off San Juan Island. But at the last minute, the British admiral in charge said this is a bit ridiculous to go to war over a pig. So the pig war ended without a shot fired, and same for the pork and bean wars.
So, Kevin, I teased at the beginning of this interview, and you tease right in the title of your book, The United States' Secret Plan to Invade Canada and Canada's Secret Plan to Invade the United States. And given what we've been talking about, you might think that this was the 1800s or the 1700s. But no, this was the 1920s.
The Canadians, as they often are, were ahead of us in this. And they had a very disingenuously named plan called Defense Scheme Number 1. And that was a plan to invade the United States that was developed soon after the end of World War One. I think given the history of border skirmishes between the United States and Canada and the recent World War, and as America emerged as a more powerful player on the world scene, there was a sense that yet another war with England was inevitable. Also, the United States, we joined World War One late in the game, but we paid out a huge amount of money to help Britain win the war. And Britain was a little upset that we expected that to be repaid. So when we weren't willing to forgive the debt, that obviously heightened tensions. And a Canadian lieutenant who was head of military intelligence hatched the defense scheme number one. And his idea was the best defense was a good offense. So he came up with a scheme that would be a five-pronged invasion into the United States from Canada. And that would invade and retreat, blowing up bridges and railroads behind them. That would buy them enough time for Britain to sail to their rescue.
And, you know, we should say that the sort of Canadian general who wound up being in charge of all this did some scouting in Vermont to look at places. And let me just read a couple of the things that he said.
Went undercover. He had mixed opinions about Vermont.
Yes, he did. He said, the people of Burlington, Vermont seem very affable and not as American as other cities, U.S. cities. And he said, in rural Vermont, if Americans are not actually lazy, they have a very deliberate way of working and apparently believe in frequent rests and gossip. I will spare everybody the suspense. The U.S. had a separate plan to invade Canada that, as Kevin Lippert points out, looked very similar in reverse to the Canadian plan. What a pleasure to talk with you, Kevin, about all of these secret skirmishes. And it remains to be seen if there's a secret one still lying around.
I bet there is.
Kevin Lippert is the author. Kevin is the author of War Plan Red, The United States' Secret Plan to Invade Canada, and Canada's Secret Plan to Invade the United States.